Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How do you reflect on your time at Man United?
I love my time there. I don't think media helped me. I refused great working opportunities. The first one was even very, very hard to refuse because it was Portugal. I could be their coach in the national team, also yours. I had it there on the table.
No way.
I didn't because I gave everything. I gave my heart. I gave even options that could be considered not very clever by the professional point of view.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Do you even coach him?
I think you don't coach.
Jose, we need to know what is next. Welcome back to Five, Stephen Howson, Rio Ferdinand, and today we have got Jose Mourinho, the special one. We have got him exclusively. This is presented by football.com. In this one, we're going to be talking about Manchester United. We're going to be talking about AS Roma. What happened? Jose Mourinho is going to drop an absolute bombshell. Stay tuned for that one. This is presented by football.com. Let's get into it.
Jose, firstly, thank you very much for allowing us to come and speak to you here in rainy Lisbon.
I know.
I can't believe it.
I feel ashamed. It's an attack to our prestige.
I had sunglasses. I had suntan lotion.
I know. Me too. Me too. I come to Lisbon with this intention too. So.
Listen, I think there's only one place to kick off. I think the recent news, obviously, Roma, your departure there. I actually can't believe we're here sitting, talking to you with that as the backdrop, because two back-to-back finals, the fans in the stadium full up. I could see it from England looking in, how much the fans adored you there. What kind of happened and got us to here now?
Owner decision. And you have to respect, don't even discuss, you know. Of course, I feel, and I believe that you feel the same as me, that the fans are always the heart of a football club. Without them, no football club. But there is an ownership. And when the owner decides, you have just respect.
Mm. Is that, would you say that was one of the most painful kind of exits for you? Because it was so sudden?
I can't say is the one that hurted me more. I can say that. You can ask me why. Because I gave everything. I gave my heart. I gave even some options that could be considered not very clever by the professional point of view. I refused great working opportunities. The first one was even very, very hard to refuse because it was Portugal. And Portugal with probably...
National team.
With probably the best national team ever. 3 years before a World Cup. Then I had... a big one from Saudi. I didn't hide it at the time because was really big, and I did it for I don't say the first time, but normally I'm very pragmatic in my choices. I'm very professional in my choices. I try always to be very emotionally controlled, and you could see that, for example, when I left other clubs after winning finals and this kind of thing. And in this case, I was not pragmatic. I was emotional. I gave everything. So in the end, when I left, I hurt it. I have the great feeling of I gave so much happiness to the people because two finals in a... European finals in a row doesn't happen often, especially in a club like like Roma without a big history of European success. And then I was walking in the street and the people, take us to Dublin, take us to Dublin, take us to Dublin. And I had that Dublin in my mind. I had that third European final in a row in my mind. But then you have to respect. The owner is always the owner, and you have to respect the decision, which is what I'm doing now. Mm.
Did you feel like you got your spark back at Roma? Because you look like you got your spark back at Roma.
I don't want to speak about Roma more than what we did, especially going into the intimacy of myself and the football club. I always felt this way. I always did it this way. It's not the first time I left the club. It's probably the first time I am feeling it in a different way. But I always felt that is the right way to do it. You know, you leave the club by your decision or by the club decision, and then you move on. Mm. You try to learn from the experience. You try to be better for the next one. But I don't like to dig in, and I don't even like to speak publicly about it.
Just, I want to talk about you as well. I think I played against your teams, always difficult to play against, always hard games.
It's still difficult.
But yeah. When I played personally,
yeah,
it was
always
difficult. Yeah,
but you played against
Chelsea,
big rivals, also. And you play against teams with the same potential as yours, with the same ambition as your team. We were playing to win it, you were playing to win it. So let's say from strength to strength. I say that even when my team is not a top team, even when my team is not a team with more potential, it's always difficult to play against us. It's always difficult to play against us because we start always from the base that a team has to be a team. And then, of course, you have that by your experience. When you had the team with the best players is different than you have a team without the best players. Mm. But it's true. I feel exactly that way. And sometimes when I see football, when it's too easy for the better team to beat the team with less potential, I always ask myself why and how is it possible? Because I always feel that a team, even if it isn't a team with more potential, has to make it difficult. Because By organization, by tactical work, and by a very strong mentality, even if you are not a team with more potential, you still can do it. Not do it in the sense of winning titles, because to win titles you need, of course, a big potential. But to give you the feeling that you had to play against that guy is always difficult. I think has to be always difficult.
And part of the question was is like that. Creating those teams and creating that culture within those teams. What's the difference between doing it maybe them years ago, the teams I played against, compared to the current type of generation of players now? What's the difference being able to create those cultures? Because it's new age.
I think what you are speaking about different generations. I was going in the initial part of my answer, I was going more in the difference of potential. Mm. In the difference of potential, I think it creates also a different way of playing and creates also a different way of approaching. I always say, you have to be arrogant on the pitch when your team is the best one. Mm. And you have to be more cautious when your team is not the best one. When your team is the best, you have to show your power. When your team is not the best, you have to hide or try to hide your problems, to try to create a balance. Going from generation to generation, I don't have the feeling of previous generations are better than now, or people of 20 years ago has a different approach to what people has now. I think in the end, the same ingredients are there. But of course, we can feel that looking just to you, it is a great podcast, isn't it?
I hope it is.
25 years ago, podcasts?
No.
No podcasts. Mm. So communication was very, very different. Mm. I feel that a journalist now what is a journalist now? Do you know what I mean? What was a coach or a manager 25 years ago? What is now is also difficult to compare. And in relation to the players, is also difficult to compare. There is an evolution in everything, and there is an evolution in terms of mentality. Years ago, probably I thought there is my ideal of what a player should be. There is my ideal of what a professional should be. But to transport this in pure terms to today, I think is wrong, because we are speaking about a complete different different world. What for us 20 years ago was impossible to happen, now happen and is impossible to change.
Social media is a big thing as well.
Everything, difference. You know, when I was an assistant coach in Barcelona, it was the beginning of the mobile phones, and was forbidden for the players to be on the mobile phone. You think it's forbidden now?
Half time they're on the phone, no?
Almost, or maybe, or maybe yes. So you have to adapt to that. I think I adapted very, very well. I think I adapted very, very well to that. I like to feel young, and to feel young, when you work amongst the young guys, you just have to adapt. But trying to keep a certain line of what a professional has to be, or what a professional should be. And I think we are in a world where people makes football players more individual. They are more individual in everything. The way they think, the personal ambitions, the people around them, the structure around them. The club has a nutritionist, but they have one. The club has a huge structure of sports science, but they have their man. Probably one day a great coaching staff, but maybe at home the goalkeeper coach has another goalkeeper. The goalkeeper has another goalkeeper coach. Yeah. Everything becomes more individual. And I think the fight, if you can call it a fight, is to try to make these individuals be a team. Be a team. I think this is the fundamental fight, if you can call it a fight.
What do you think is most important then when you're trying to build a team? Is it the raw ability or is it character?
In relation to the individuality?
Well, building a team to win.
You know, I think the first thing to build a proper team is the connection between the structures. The players, and I think you will laugh at it, the players are very intelligent.
Intelligent?
Yeah. If not intelligent in terms of IQ, because not everyone, of course, is, but that specific intelligent of feeling of analyzing things, of feeling things, of reading things, even in between the lines, the players are very clever. The players are very, very intelligent. They look and they understand. They look to each other and without a word, they know what they are saying. I think they feel the strength and they feel the fragility. And in this moment where the structures of the clubs are very complex, I think it's very important that the players, they feel that they are complex, but they are compact. In your time, you just need to look to Sir Alex, at him, and in 2 seconds you understand what you have in front of you, and then you respect, maybe a little bit of fear, but not, I prefer to say respect, and then you trust, and then you believe, and then you know that if you make something wrong, you are in trouble, he's not in trouble, you know that you are not going to manipulate anybody, you don't care about the press, and...
Everything's clear, isn't it?
Everything is clear. In this moment, the structures are very complex, but I think the structures must be built in a way where complexity doesn't mean problems, and sometimes that complexity has to be transformed in something where it's easy for the players to understand that there are no conflicts, there is empathy, and there is, you know, something strong behind the players' behind or before the player's performance. I think this is the most important thing. When you have this and you have a good communication between the structure, I think anything is possible.
I want to move on to things like the rivalries. You've played in some huge clubs. I mean, I managed huge clubs. Where would you say the biggest rivalries have been? Because it seems intense in at Roma, but equally, if not more, in Madrid, Chelsea in London. Where's in Porto as well? Where's been the rivalry you've gone, oh my God, that is different?
You know, it is everywhere, to be honest. Roma, Spain, Portugal is hard. England, I believe, with more discipline, but the rivalries, of course, you know that they are very, very strong in Latin countries, in Latin cultures, becomes maybe, you can feel more the emotion of it, even on the negative side, even with some aggression, even with some violence before, after matches. England is, I believe, a much more structured nowadays, luckily, without this level of problems. But I would say that my times at Real Madrid, these 3 years in Real Madrid were years of a huge rivalry with Barcelona. Mm. Also because it was not just the cultural and historical rivalry, but also the moment. I don't want to say the best players in the world, because of course England always had incredible players, but maybe in that moment there, the best Cristiano, the best Messi, the best Benzema, the best Higuain, the best Iniesta,
Di Maria.
Di Maria, everything was there. Barcelona, the best team in the world. Real Madrid trying to change that perspective. In the same season, league matches, Super Cup matches, Cup finals, Champions League quarterfinals, everything all together. And I felt that in that period there, the world stopped for Barça, Real Barça, the world stopped there. And we were feeling that. Then one season, Barcelona wins it. Then the next season, Real Madrid wins it. It was beautiful. But I think if I could say it, because of the intensity at every level, was probably there. Then,
do you enjoy that? I remember big pressure situations, Champions League semi-finals, finals, the rivalries. In the moment, I don't think I really ever enjoyed it. I was in more relief after you win. Like, those moments, are they enjoyable for you as a manager?
You know.
When it's so intestine.
I have to say that was hard, but then you feel that you cannot go higher than that. For you to have an example, for us to win the league, we did 100 points. You know that if you don't do 98, 99, 100, you don't win it. You know that if you have a draw, you are in trouble, because Barcelona wins.
For sure.
Then the next season, the previous season, when Barcelona wins, I think we lost with 92 points, 91 points, something like that. So you know that you make a mistake, you are in trouble. You have to win. You have to win. You have to win. You have to win. And then if you have guys like Cristiano, for example, where you are playing against Levante, you are winning 5-0, you tell the guy,
relax.
Come on, take a rest. No. I can score one more goal. When you have guys like this, you know, the boat is in the water, and you just let the boat go, and in the end you enjoy the fight, and we did. But of course, is easy. I don't know. Maybe because of that pressure. Maybe because of that tension. After the second year, Pep went to a sabbatical year. Maybe because of that, on the third season, I spoke with the president and I told him, I think it's better for me to go. I think it's better for me to go to Chelsea and change a little bit more. No, Jose, please don't do it. Now is time where we are going to win it and kill, because the most difficult time is gone. President, I agree, the most difficult time is gone, but it's also time for me to go.
It's draining, tired.
Yeah. You can say a little bit like that when the tension is high. I think in this moment in Spain, people miss these times. Yeah, I think they miss it because it becomes something different. But I would say that period was tremendous. But Benfica, Porto, Benfica, United, Liverpool, United,
Roma, Chelsea, Arsenal, sure.
Lazio, Roma, Inter, Juve, yeah, more than people. Inter Milan.
Is it?
Yeah. People. I don't know.
Because maybe AC wasn't doing as well then. Maybe.
I don't know. But the first derby I played Inter against Milan, I remember clearly. I was in the bus and I was looking and, you know, people together with Milan scarves, with Inter scarves. Yeah. You know, really, really nice, really friendly. I didn't feel it as that big derby. When is Inter Juve is when you feel that something is not going historically well in between them.
What's your pre-match routine look like? You give your team talk an hour before the kickoff. The lads go and warm up. Do you sit in the change room on your own? Do you go and watch the warm up?
No, first of all, the guys, they know the team even before I say. Always. I don't remember there is a game where the guys, they don't know who is going to play, because the work you do before, the work you do during the week, normally the players, they know. Sometimes you can mix a little bit. Sometimes you can try to disguise a little bit. You know, sometimes a leak of information, you don't want it to happen. But normally the guys, they know. There is, I always say that the big work is done before the match day. During the match day, my work as a coach and my staff, you know, is to be on the bench to analyze the unpredictability of the game and be ready to answer to it. But normally the job is done. My routine, I'm probably one of the few guys that is not superstitious. I'm not
lucky
at all.
That's good.
I'm not at all. I think we have enough pressure to have another extra pressure of being superstitious with something, you know. Not. I like the players to be by themselves in that period before the warm-up. I don't like to go, especially at home when you have your little office. I don't like to go to the dressing room. Let them be, let them communicate, let them do what they want, let them feel comfortable. Then, of course, be with the guys before the game a few minutes and be with them for 90 minutes and play with them for 90 minutes and be what you think the team needs you to be for 90 minutes. But no big routines.
Man United, your time there. How do you reflect on your time at Man United? Did you enjoy your time there?
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah. I loved my time there.
I remember when I met you first, when we done the interview there that time, I could see that spark, that energy that you look like. I can't wait to get going. I'm happy to be here.
Of course. I was so proud of going there. And I was even prouder probably when a couple of years later I went back to Old Trafford as a Sky commentator. I think I went with Roy Keane, if I'm not, or Graham Souness, or both. And when I felt the reaction of the crowd to myself, I was like, wow. I always felt we were together in the time I've been there. But to have that reaction touched me. I love the time to be there. You know better than me, the club, the history, everything. For a coach to be a coach in the same club of Sir Alex, even if it was not immediately after, you have to feel it. You have to feel, especially the pride, also the responsibility. And I felt it. And then historical club, legendary club, legendary players. I was very, very happy, very, very proud to be there. Not easy. I don't think media helped me. I don't think media had, including yourself, maybe, maybe. I don't remember specific cases, but I felt that was not with an intention of hurting. I think was more that people didn't understand the dimension of the job and the potential difficulties, and also the fact that the coach was quite in a hybrid position, if hybrid is a correct word in English, I don't
hybrid,
know.
Hybrid.
Because in the years before, everything was very, very clear. Of course, ownership, but of course, Sir Alex and Mr.
David Gill.
And Mr. David Gill. Then was changing, and then the structure was not a very fluid structure. When people criticizes Ed Woodward's job, I don't like. I don't like because for me, he's a good man. Was just a man that probably was not like a fish in the water. Very intelligent, very polite, very correct, but probably not prepared for the sport side, for the sport side of it. Was quite hybrid for a coach not to have a direct communication with the ownership, and for a coach not to have a structure that shares the same principles and the same ideas was not easy, with consequences at many levels. But I did my best. I told in some interview, and I was killed by that, that the second position was one of my biggest achievements.
I think you was people questioned what you were saying there. I was one of them. I was like, he's won the treble
because
twice.
You won, but we didn't know the background. You won 10 Premier Leagues.
We didn't know the background. That's why. We didn't know what you're talking about now. The structure of the club wasn't the way it maybe should have been for you to be successful or more successful. And with not knowing the backstory, that's why the question marks are like, what's Jose talking about? But now years to come, you're right.
And maybe there is a chance of we win that league, no?
Yeah.
No, because if Man City is catched in financial fair play,
I'm hoping
in financial fair play breaking the rules,
I'll have two more Premier Leagues.
Maybe they lose a few points and maybe win that title. But joke apart, we did the best we could do. And
do you still believe that? Yeah, that it's the best.
Of course, I believe, and nobody did better.
Yeah.
And they.
No, I'm saying, do you still believe that it's like. That's the best achievement I've had.
Not the best achievement, because I always feel that the best achievement is when you bring the cup and you go home, or with a cup, or with a medal. But was a hell of a job, you know. In the first season, to win Europa League was great. To qualify for Champions League was great too. If you remember, your Man United or one of your Man Uniteds, and you look at the team that played that European final with me, if you want to make a joke, you make a joke. Romero, Valencia, Daley Blind, Chris Smalling, Darmian, Herrera, Pogba, Fellaini, Juan Mata, Marcus Rashford, and Mkhitaryan. Do you want to say Rio, Vidic, Rooney, Ronaldo, Van der Sar, Paul Scholes, you know, you want to go? We can go. So we did it great. We did the second position. Then the third position. Then the third season. We lost a few matches, and we lost the derby against Liverpool. I don't know, 2-1, 3-1. We lost my last match, and at that time. The club decided to change, and they did. And how many years after, I love the club, I love the fans. I hope that everything goes. I hope that everything goes well. I'm waiting for Man United to, as soon as possible, to become your Man United, the Man United that made the love, fall in love with them.
Your point.
The third season when it started to go wrong. What was you looking for in the summer transfer window? Because I don't think, with all respect to Lee Grant, to Delo, to Fred, I don't think that was going to close the gap on 19 points from Manchester City.
You know, I always feel everywhere. Before you buy new furniture, you need to clean the house. So I was more about cleaning the house than buying new furniture. And we didn't clean it the way I wanted. I wanted to clean from the second season, and we couldn't, for different reasons. We couldn't. I cannot say that I was asking for A, B, C, or D in the third season, because was not right. I just knew, because it was the third season, I knew clearly what I didn't want there in terms of the individuals, in terms of the profiles. I knew clearly what I didn't want. But didn't happen. And sometimes in football you have to accept that. I accepted that, and I tried my best. But I knew exactly the deep problems that we had there. And in the third season, the manifestation of these problems were more clear.
You spoke about the structure of the club. Hopefully now there's a group have come in. Ineos have come into Man United now, hoping now that they fix things and they see maybe some of the issues that you saw. What would you think would be some of the first things they need to do to kind of get it right?
I have nobody to say it. And the club after when I left 5 years ago, probably. For sure, lots of things changed. For sure. Honestly, I believe that Richard Arnold had to change something for better, because I always thought a proper guy and a guy with a certain feeling of sport, because he was not a football man but a sportsman with a good understanding of what sport is. I liked him very, very much, even when he was in the commercial role in my time. So for sure they improve, and I think now Ineos and Sir Ratcliffe, I know him well. I know him very well. We had a good relation from years ago. You know, I have a very good feeling. He's also a sportsman. He loves it, which I think is a very important thing. He comes with experience from other experiences, smaller clubs, other sports, cycling. You know, I have a good feeling that things can go in the right direction, and I hope so. Honestly, I hope so.
You mentioned the team that we won the Europa League with didn't quite match up to the teams that we had during Rio's time. My belief, so I'm not putting this on you, my belief is that if you'd have joined the club immediately following Sir Alex Ferguson, I think you had the sway, and I think with that team, Giggs, Scholes, an older Rio, an older Vidic, I think we'd have won another title.
It's too easy to say it, you know. It's too easy for me now to say, oh. You cannot say it. Cannot say it. You know, was David after, no?
Yeah,
most. You know, I have just to respect David, and for sure he did his best, you know.
Jose, I want to move to Chelsea. Your time there is like so unique, and it's one of those things in Premier League history that will stand the test of time for the success you had there. But I'm really interested, like, to go into a new club and the way you hit the ground running immediately, you changed everything for us. Like, we used to start slow and be comfortable and think, turn of Christmas, if we're 10 points behind, we have a good chance still. When you came, you changed that. How did you kind of go in there, grab it and shake the place and become that immediately?
You know, to be honest, Chelsea was almost there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go to clubs where you have to build everything. You need time. And sometimes you build, you build, you build, and then in the moment where the club is ready to attack and bite is when you leave. In Chelsea, it was not like that. They had a job done previously, and they had a very good vision on the transfer market. Of course, it was with me that Peter Cech played the first game, it was with me that Arjen Robben plays the first game, but they were bought before my arrival. Guys like Lampard, Joe Cole, these guys were already in the club for 1 or 2 years. What I felt was that they needed a personality like mine, in the sense of to tell the guys how good they were. And then, as I was telling you in one of the previous answers, the empathy between the structures. That structure was not complex. That structure was very simple. Roman, Peter Kenyon, and Jose. And there was a big trust on that. And when I come and I say Didier Drogba, the first reaction was, who is Didier Drogba? I know who Didier Drogba is. I know the impact he can make. I know that Jimmy Floyd was, Hasselbaink was a fantastic player, but the decision was he was going to leave. And speaking about and thinking about what I wanted the team to be, Didier Drogba was the right guy to be. Mm-hmm. What John Terry was, for me, absolutely incredible player. Who to play next to him? Which profile of player to play next to him? The decision was Ricardo Carvalho. Mm-hmm. So this kind of decisions that you make with people that trust each other in a structure where there are no doubts about the responsibilities, it worked immediately. So we had the money to do it. We had the money to do it, but we did it well. And then I think my personality and my arrival immediately after a Champions League victory, lots of confidence, lots of ambition. And I think I fit very well with the guys. The guys, Frank always say, Jose was the first guy that told me that I could win the
Ballon d'Or.
The Ballon d'Or. It's not like I am special. The other guys before me were wrong of not telling you that before myself. I did it because I feel that a guy that plays in midfield and scores 35 goals a season, come on, there is something special on it. So I think we fit it very, very well. And I think you, the stronger position, you didn't give us enough respect for the way we started. And when you, because the story was always, Chelsea by December they will fall. Then was Chelsea by Easter they will fall. And everybody was waiting for us to fall. And then when we realized we needed 4 or 5 points to be champion, and we did it for the first time. And then was a moment where Chelsea was for many years what they were. But I think the click was that 2004-2005.
You mentioned Drogba as one of your first signings, Essien as well, Kalou. Did you realize the impact in Africa?
Yes.
That you was having with those signings?
I cannot go to Africa. I cannot go to
Too
Africa.
Too much crazy fans.
Too much everywhere. Because, you know, I had, you know, DJ, Ivory Coast, Jeremy, Cameroon, Samuel Eto'o, Cameroon.
You signed Kalou?
Kalou,
yeah.
Obi-Mikel. Ivory Coast, Obi-Mikel, Nigeria. I had guys from Essien, Ghana, Sule Muntari, Ghana. I have guys from all around the world. Every time I go to Africa, you know.
Roadblock.
I cannot walk. The guys, they love me. Even in Europe with many of African guys, people really loves me. And to be honest, I love the guys. And I feel that the African player He's very loyal.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Is very pure. Many of them, they call me daddy, and some of them, they are almost my age. When Sien calls me daddy, I say, Michael, come on. Don't call me daddy, you are almost my age. But, you know, this affection exists. You know, I love the guys. I love to work with the African players. I think I take the best out of the guys. I think the guys, they see in me somebody that really loves them and admires their qualities as players and persons. I always loved and I always had great response from African players.
I don't think you get enough credit for that.
Yeah.
Because there was a reluctance. It felt like it was a reluctance from Sir Alex, purely because of losing them to go to AFCON.
Yeah, yeah. But that is a problem that we know. Mm. I always felt that if you are in a top team and you have African players, it's not a problem. Because you miss the guys in 2 years, you miss the guys for 6 weeks, is not a problem. The problem is, like it happens with me in Roma, where a squad is a very limited squad, yeah. And then you go to this period and you lose three players for African Cup and one player for Asian Cup. You have a short squad, you lose four players, you are dead. Mm. When you are in one of the top clubs, if you want to go for an African player, don't think twice and go. You don't have the guy for six weeks in 2 years, but you have a very special player because African players, they are different.
Mm. We want to talk about a couple of individual players. You obviously worked with Cristiano Ronaldo at the absolute peak. Can you talk to me about what it was like coaching that specimen on a day-to-day basis?
Well, do you even coach him?
Yeah. I think you don't coach. I think you don't...
You should make sure
you
he's happy.
You don't teach much. You know, it's about being happy and it's about creating an environment by the tactical point of view, by the idea of football where the player can show the best. I think Madrid for him was a little bit of a transition because for you, he was a winger. You know, the right winger, the left winger, wide, dribbling, attacking people, beating people. In Madrid, he became more the goal scorer that he was for the rest of his career. In fact, probably was the first time he played a big match as a striker was Real Madrid-Barcelona in a final, in a cup final, where he scored an amazing goal with an amazing header. On extra time. Probably that was the beginning of people having a feeling that animal could be a goal scorer and not just the pure winger. Madrid was a little bit of that, a little bit of hybrid, because he was playing from the left, but he was not wide, and he was not chasing fullbacks, and we were protecting him with the balance that we were giving behind with Xabi Alonso, with Khedira. And
was that a little bit at the start of what you see now with Laxella? These guys, that was the start of that.
Because that's the position where they can be more effective and they can score more goals. But traditionally, when you do the 4-4-2, when you do the 4-3-3, open the wingers, defend the fullbacks, and then you take the players outside the place where they can hurt, where they can hurt more. But Cristiano, you know him as well as I know, and almost in consecutive years. Motivation, you don't need to give him. Ambition, responsibility, you cannot give him. Technically, you cannot give him. It's just to give some tactical adjustments and let the guy happy, like you say. So, well,
you know when you tell players to play a new position sometimes, I've got one.
Sergio Ramos. You moved him from right back to centre half.
Who?
Ramos.
Sergio?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that one was easy because it was something that he wanted.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's more difficult when you want to persuade the player to do it, something that he doesn't believe is the right thing for him.
How do you then get belief?
It's just to try to... When you do it, it's not to hurt the player. When you do it, in my case, when I do it because I feel that is the best for the team. It's just to try to persuade the player that the team is more important than himself and that the team needs it. Of course, if you do it in a temporary basis where, look, we are in trouble. Rio, center back, we have 4 center backs. We don't have a right back, you know. Gary Neville broke a leg. So we need you to go there for a few matches. Can you do that for us? I think you don't like, but you do it. If you say, now you are going to be a right back for the rest of your life, you say, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. So you have to try not to do anything crazy. You know, I think I have a big stamp on Eto'o playing right back in one match. He won the Champions League. He would do it again and again and again. The team had 10 men. We needed to lose just by one goal, 10 men, you know. The right back goes center back. We need to play with the back 5. You have to go there. Can you do it? Of course I can do it.
Is that your biggest tactical game achievement? That beating that Barcelona side with Inter Milan?
No.
Which one do you think is?
Because the first one where we beat Barcelona 3-1 was better. And people forget it. 3-1.
How can you forget that?
3-1 and could be 4 or 5-1. Could be 4 or 5. And that was the match that took us to the final. Then the second match is just a consequence of the first.
Was Wesley Sneijder robbed of a Ballon d'Or that year, do you think?
I don't like to say robbed. Who won it? Messi? So no robbed. but Wesley did the treble, Champions League winner, I think World Cup final in the same season, World Cup final. So Wesley should be there at least in the top 3. But when in the last generation, when Cristiano Messi, they win Ballon d'Or, he's never robbed.
Robbery was probably a little bit strong.
Bad word. Yeah. We edit that. No. but you know all these players. You're mentioning all these players you've managed. I know it's difficult. It's a hard question for you. But like, give me some of the players that you've like enjoyed most coaching, and reasons why. Not your best, but just you've enjoyed certain aspects. Maybe getting the goals you got out of Frank.
You know, the players that I most enjoyed are the players that gave me everything. Everything. And there are dozens and dozens of dozens. And maybe not the most talented ones, just the ones that gave everything. The ones that I felt they couldn't give anything more than what they gave. These are my players. Then if you want to go to kind of profiles. You know, I don't want to be unfair with people, and of course I will be unfair, but when you play a kid, the kid becomes your kid for life. That's always my feeling. So I look to Rafa Varane now in the end of his career. Is my kid. When I look to Scott McTominay, Pogba on the bench plays Scott McTominay Champions League in Seville. Is my boy. So when I go from club to club, I find my boys, and my boys are always going to be my boys. Then there are the big stars And normally the big stars are always big stars. You know, my captains, Terry, Zanetti, you know, these guys.
Costa.
Josh Costa, you know, the guys that play with the knee like that, with the injection in here, with breaking. You know, these guys are phenomenal. Then there are the stars, and the stars are the ones that make the difference. Even when people think you are a genius and you are not a genius, they are the genius, which are the guys that they win for you. They win matches for you. And the Cristianos, the Benzemas, Ibras, this level of players, Didi, these guys. People think the coach is the genius, but the coach is not a genius. The guys are the genius, and they make you feel like a genius.
Talking of great players, sorry to interrupt.
The list is just listed off there, Rio. I'm just sitting here going, oh my God.
The great players we're talking about now. On Five, we always have this debate about, and in England we have this debate about Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes. For you, who's the best? If he was going to give me a 1-2-3,
I could be that coach in the national team, also yours.
Imagine, we would have won something. If you was the coach, we would have won something.
I had it there,
Jose.
On the table.
No way.
Yeah?
Oh, come on, man.
Jose.
Yeah, I had it on the table.
Wait, let me finish.
You I had it.
No.
Yeah,
why did you sign? Why did you say no?
Because I'm still there a little bit. I didn't because I had always the national team job as something that I wouldn't enjoy. So Chelsea was 4-5, 5-6, 6-7, 7-8. Was 7-8, I think, was when Mr. Capello got the job.
I was enjoying the interview.
2010.
Interview, man.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Jose, you can still do it.
Yeah, but Scholes, Lampard and Gerrard. You know.
Oh, Foden, that Bellingham. Foden, Bellingham.
Maynard.
Yeah. These guys, Saka. It's a good time now.
No, it's a very good generation.
Listen, they get got you in there now.
They got the final.
They'll win
the
Euros.
European, Euro final.
This year.
They can do it. They can do it. And I think this kind of mentality that when the guys they go abroad, for example, Bellingham, I don't know the kid, I never spoke with the kid, but I believe that there is something that separates him from the boys that were born in England, developed in England, playing in England, living in England. I think this kid has to be something different, can add something different. You know, he's a kid from the world. He's not a kid from just playing, of course, in the best league in the world, but just in the Premier League, to bring something different, something experienced. When this kid in Madrid scored a goal and opened the arms to the Bernabeu,
yeah.
Is his dimension, you know.
He shows the character, though.
Shows the character, you know. He's not doing it like...
arrogance.
No, it's just, here I am, I did it again. You know, you see the kids, it's big, big, big personality. Big personality. I think Southgate, with Steve Holland. When I speak about Southgate, I speak always about Steve. He was my assistant at Chelsea. What a person and what a professional. So I think both, beautiful job there. It's just missing that little bit. I cannot say I wish they do it, because I think Portugal can do it and I wish Portugal do it, but they can do it. They can do it, that generation can do it.
You didn't answer the question.
Which one?
Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes.
I cannot. I cannot. If you tell me which one I prefer Frank because he scored 500 goals for me.
Yeah.
And the other ones, Scholes against me and Stevie G against me. But phenomenal players. Phenomenal player. To be honest, I was always saying Terry, Ferdinand, Sol Campbell, Ledley King, Jamie Carragher couldn't even get in the four.
Yeah.
Scholes, Lampard, and Gerrard. I was thinking,
crazy. We should have won something.
You should.
Well,
it was not far. You know, when you lost in Portugal against Portugal on penalties, I think would be for you. It was close.
2008 Champions League final had 10 English players playing. Ashley Cole, John Terry, Lampard, Carrick, Hargreaves, Scholes, Rooney, Wes Brown.
A lot of players.
There's literally a team right there for you that was playing in the biggest game in the world. Mm. Jose, we need to know, what is next?
I don't know.
All right, cool.
I don't know. I was having lunch with my friends and people that works with me, and we were on the lift, and I was telling the guys, if I can work tomorrow, I work tomorrow. I don't enjoy any day without work. I don't understand, I'm sorry guys, but I don't understand people that speaks about sabbatical time, because sabbatical time gives me only one thing, depression. You know, so
you're different to Pep.
I want to, we are different persons, of course. I just want to work, but I need to be patient. I need to work for the right opportunity.
Have you had offers already? You must have had offers.
I had, but something that I was not interested in.
There was some talk came out. I don't think it was a quote directly from you, but there was some word came supposedly from you that you feel like you've got unfinished business at Manchester United. Is that correct? Or you didn't say that?
No.
Okay.
Another myth busted.
No.
Don't read the press. He already said it's 75% bollocks.
Have you heard about the sin bin now?
Yeah.
The new blue card. What's your thoughts on that?
I feel it's something you'd take advantage of.
I think there is always a feeling of changing things. I'm not always sure that you change for better. I think if the sin bin means that you are out for a certain number of minutes, but then there is not an accumulation of it, and then you can play the next match without a suspension of five yellows or this kind of thing, I would say so. Because it was always something that I didn't understand very, very well, which is for an accumulation of yellow cards, a player cannot play one match. The clubs pay the players to play. The players want to play. The fans pay for the players to play. Mm. You cannot play for an accumulation of yellow cards. You know, if there is something that takes it out, I would say yes. And probably is more fair that you make a mistake, an infraction in a match, and you pay it in that match. Mm. I think maybe makes sense. Maybe makes sense, and maybe gives the team a difficulty to deal with in that specific match. You do it, you are out. We have to play with one man less for, let's say, 10 minutes. Okay, let's go. Probably, I wouldn't dislike, I would say.
Finally, I need a prediction from you. Premier League and Champions League this year, who are your favourites? Mm. And why?
Premier League, City. City, Liverpool. So like that, I'm not making a mistake. City, Liverpool. But I think City. Champions League, I would say City, Real Madrid. If somebody outside wins it, for me, it would be a great surprise.
Mm.
A great surprise. I would love Real Madrid to win it again for the club and for Carlo. I wouldn't be upset at all if City does it, but it would be nice to have. I don't know. Bayern Munich can do it. Paris Saint-Germain can do it. I don't know. looking at potential, I think City Liverpool for the Premier, and City Real for the Champions.
My last question, sorry guys, sorry. My last question for you, I couldn't leave it. You're big. You've had a lot of rivalries with managers. That's I don't know. It seems like you really enjoyed that kind of dynamic as a manager, rivals with different clubs, but also the managers. Who did you enjoy having a big rival with? Pep, Sir Alex Ferguson, etc.
I think I forgot it because I was never looking for it. But the rivalry were running
coming
in my direction.
But,
you know, but never bad feelings. There is not one manager that I say, oh, if I see the guy in the street, I cross the road to the other side for
and
not.
You enjoy, but you had a good enjoyment, you know.
Well, not with the man, with the clubs, yes. Hmm. When people speaks, me and Wenger, we had our sayings on the touchline, on words, but what I the most enjoyed was beating Arsenal every time we play against them, you know, because it was every time Chelsea, boom, boom, boom. That was what I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy to play in Newcastle. I never win. Mm. You know, every time I was going to Newcastle, or lose, or draw, or lose, or draw. I think I won there once, probably with Chelsea, and with Man United. I think Man United or Tottenham. But you know, out of 10, I would win once or twice. There was no rivalry with Pardew or with Allardyce or with any one of them there. I just knew it, that going to play St. James's was really, really hard. But I have very good relations with the managers, even with the ones that we had these things. I had nothing with Pep. It was just the fact that we play Inter, we played four times Champions League, Inter, Barcelona in the same season. Two in the group phase, two in the semifinal. Mm. Then I go to Real Madrid. And in Real Madrid, in the next season, we play two in the league, two in the cup, two in the Champions League, one in. Come on. Mm-hmm. Then becomes hard. But no rivalries. I'm a good guy. I don't look, but I am a good guy.
No, good. Listen, you finished. I think
I've got one that I would like.
A difficult one for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
No, this
is a made up, crazy guy.
But this is a dead easy one. I just want some words about Sir Bobby Robson, because I know that he would be a major influence in your coaching and bringing you through into Barcelona and stuff like that. So just some.
Every
some
time words. I think about him, or every time I speak about him, because I speak about him lots of times, friends, family, or I smile, or tears are coming a little bit. You know, I had things with him, quite unique. Can I tell you two or three?
Okay.
I tell you two or three stories. Every time he was having lunch or dinner with me, he paid. I didn't pay once. And he was always saying, I have more money than you, and I have less years than you to spend. Then I tell you another one. We lost a match in Barcelona. I was dead, completely dead. And he was telling me, why are you like that? Come on, we lost, mister. Just think about the happiness in the opponent dressing room. And I was looking at him, still hard, mister. Okay, walk there, go to the door, and listen to the happiness of the guys, and then you will be in a better place.
You want to put me in a better mood?
Yeah, this is him.
Unique.
This is him.
Sorry. I have to say one more. R9 is my guy.
I'm literally just sitting there thinking R9
to be
that
honest,
season.
Ronaldo is my guy.
You cannot you cannot be the guy that closes with the last question.
Exactly.
Come on, this is a real show.
A bit of respect.
You want to
respect, huh?
I'm on a flagship
Please
show.
Please respect.
You know this.
Yeah.
R9. Brazilian Ronaldo. Like, just tell me what
Brazilian
is
Ronaldo.
Yes, please.
Brazilian Ronaldo. I bring Mr. Robson. Ronaldo arrived the day before of a Super Cup final, Barcelona-Real Madrid. Barcelona-Atletico Madrid. And for the whole preseason, we had an Argentinian striker called Pizzi that was doing amazing. Amazing. We play in Barcelona, Barcelona-Atletico Madrid. And Ronaldo arrives the day before from PSV. At that time, the scouting was different. We didn't have access to everything we have now, all the footage and the wise scouts of this life and everything. Mm-hmm. So we knew Ronaldo, but Mr. Robson was the one that knew it very well. Mr. Robson says, so tomorrow the team, Figo, Ronaldo, Stoichkov. Mister.
What? Wait.
Mister, you cannot play Ronaldo. Why? Mister, you kill Pizzi. The whole preseason, Pizzi scored 2 goals against this. Come on, mister, put Ronaldo on the bench, but play Pizzi. You cannot play José. You want to be a nice guy or you want to win the Super Cup?
Ooh.
I want to win the Super Cup. So play Ronaldo. I think it was 5-1 or 5-2.
No.
And I think was Ronaldo 2 goals and 2 or 3 in the first match he played against Atletico Madrid in the Super Cup. So I was always learning with Mr. Robson. You want to be a good guy or you want to win the Super Cup? I want to win the Super Cup. So play Ronaldo.
And he was crazy, crazy player.
Crazy. You know, he was fit, he was young, no injuries, because then injuries were coming. And that year in Barcelona was crazy, crazy, crazy. He scored goals, Compostela, Valencia, getting the ball in midfield, attacking people, dribbling people. Now, amazing. Crazy.
Without injuries, like, you think he's better, that he could have been better than like the Messi?
Because the next season he goes to Inter. So he played only one season in Barcelona. He goes to Inter, and in Inter he had immediately the tendon of
the patella,
the tendon, and then he started having his problems. But what I saw there, crazy, without training. Without training.
What do you mean?
Lazy.
No way.
Lazy. Training, enjoying, you know, but not training like a method, like discipline, just enjoying, just the Brazilian boy coming from the beach or coming from his local, just to play football. Amazing, amazing. Such a beautiful thing to see, amazing.
Wow. Well, listen, Jose, it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, Rio.
Lovely to see you.
All the best.
Stay healthy and good luck for your next phase.
I'm happy that you were not the last.
You see, respect.
You know, people must respect the football guys. You know, with this belly, you cannot be. Come on.
No, come on. Hey. Black eye, he's got a black eye. Finish. Oh.
21 kilometers yesterday.
No. Respect, huh?
Respect.
Well, wait to finish. I love it. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.